quack, 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 quack,
hello and welcome back to D5, the Mighty Ducks, the show where we look back at the 1994 Disney Hockey sequel, D2, the Mighty Ducks, 5 minutes at a time. I'm Blake, and on the line is my special guest of the week.
Hey, I'm Travis Bowe from Real Comic Heroes and Watchmen Minute.
Yeah, well, Travis, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, and I'm now done with the really strange announcer voice that I was just doing for no reason. So, before we get into the movie, I always ask everybody, what is your history with this movie in the franchise?
I think I just kind of grew up with this one. I was probably definitely saw the first movie a lot more as a kid. I would have been, 11 when this came out.
Yeah.
So I think I would have been pretty excited for the sequel. But I didn't own any of the Mighty Duck movies, so I only watched them like maybe on a rental every now and then, or if they happen to be on TV. So I liked this one quite a bit growing up, and it's one of those that I would check back in on every 5 years or so.
That makes sense. That makes perfect sense to me. Yeah, I've been saying, it's been weird rewatching this, and for years, this is my favorite of the trilogy. It's been really strange to rewatch this movie without like the teenager or a kid headlights on. It's really weird.
Yeah, I think one and two kind of rate equally for me as far as enjoyment. I really like that first one, but I think I always forget when I watch the first one, I think I forget that it's the playoffs and the stakes aren't this movie. You know, this movie is the one where it's Team USA, and I think I always forget that it's just a Pee Wee Hockey League in the first one, and then the second one is where they play for the US. You know,
yeah, whatever the stakes are, the made up Junior Goodwill Games.
Yeah, yeah.
So, let's get into this. We jump in at an interesting time because this is the first time that we officially introduced Russ onto the team. And we were making up earlier that he's so cocky because he thinks everybody should know about his knuckle puck.
Yeah.
Everybody should know about it. So,
yeah, I've heard of my knuckle puck.
I the confidence in his voice, though, whenever he mentions it, is fantastic. Like,
Russ is great. I love him in this movie. I like Kenan Thompson a lot, and I don't know if you've talked about him much.
Yeah, we did. And would you believe this is his first movie?
Yeah, no, I completely believe that.
Yes, I didn't believe that until I looked it up. So yeah,
he's one of those weird actors that you kind of just know him from, like, this, Good Burger, Kenan and Kel, and SNL, but he's not really an actor.
He's a comedian, really.
Yeah, really just, and I don't even know if he does stand-up. Like, I think he's kind of just an SNL guy now. Like,
he's been doing it for so long.
A weird career.
Yeah, but you know what? He made money off this career, so I can't complain. He made a lot of money, and he's doing more successful than most of the Ducks do, so you can't argue that. So we get into a game. This is not a whole lot of game, but we have USA versus Russia. It's the first time in this movie. We actually have a team that's actually, you know, a real team in this tournament. Team USA. Yeah. I did do a little research. I do this on every team we play. This is the first time I actually have real research on a hockey team. I won't do everything because there's way too much. But Team USA, I mean Team Russia. Team Russia has an interesting history, to say the least.
Yeah.
Starts at the Soviet Union, and everyone that's seen Miracle knows what I'm talking about, but I'll just read it real fast. Olympic gold, 1956, 1964, 68, 72, 76, 84, and 88. They won the world championship gold, 54, 63, 65 through 79, 81 through 83, 86, 89, and 90. By the way, I forgot to make a note. In the Olympics, the only two times that Russia didn't win, Soviets didn't win, were Team USA years.
Okay.
Both times, 60 and 80. In the World Juniors, they won gold 77 to 80, 83, 84, 86, 89. Then there was a weird time that I forgot happened, is the United Team, the Commonwealth of Independent States, in 1992, that I didn't even know happened.
Huh.
And they won Olympic gold and the World Juniors gold like that, too. And then Russia itself, they did not win another Olympic gold medal as Russia in the Olympics. I'll get to when they won a gold medal in a second. But World Championship gold, they won 93, 08, 09, 2012, 2014. World Juniors, 99, 2002, 2003, 2011. And the Olympic athletes from Russia, because of the doping scandal, they could not be Russia at the Olympics in 2018. But they still won Olympic gold because the NHL did not send anybody. And they had, like, KHL athletes on the Russian team. So, that's a lot. And trust me, I have more stuff coming up for something else coming up in the minutes. But Russian hockey history. So much.
Yeah.
Anyway, Team USA, go.
Just real quick, speaking of Russian hockey, have you seen the documentary The Russian Five?
Which one is it? I've seen a lot of docs, so which one are we on?
It's about, when the Detroit Red Wings
I don't think I've seen the documentary, but I know who you're talking about.
It's fantastic. It's
is it
really
available
good.
Somewhere?
I found it on that the Hoopla the library app. But it's probably available elsewhere.
Cool.
Now, but it's worth a watch.
I'll have to write
it
down because I love this kind of documentaries.
I didn't know the history of it, so by the end of it, I was kind of like, on the edge of my seat because I didn't know what was going to happen. So it was really cool.
I'm writing it down to remind myself to watch this because I lived the Russian Five era. So that's why I remember it really, really well. That's when I really became a hockey fan, during the Russian Five era. So
cool.
So I was there when the, who was it? Vladimir Konstantinov, I want to say. Got into the accident. I was watching NHL covered when that happened.
Oh,
like,
man.
The day it happened. So I remember it.
Yeah, in spoilers, I mean, that's kind of where the documentary ends.
Okay.
So to me, that was, I didn't know if he was going to live. If he was
gonna die,
I didn't know that. You know, all that. So it's really good. So
yeah, I remember, I lived through that. So trust me, I'll definitely take a look at this. I really want to watch that now. All right. Maybe I'll pop it into my Roku and see if I can find this for free somewhere.
Yeah.
So, all right. Back to the game. And by the way, what's up with these really ugly Russian jerseys?
Yeah.
These are awful. These are not Russian colors. Did they not get clearance from, like, the Russian government to use their real jerseys?
That's probably the case.
They're awful.
I don't know.
They're orange. They've never been orange, ever. So, anyway. Russ hits his knuckle puck for the first time. And I don't even know what to say. The first time we see it in a game. Because it's the second time we're seeing it in the movie. But now we're in a game. What do you got? What are you thinking here?
I was curious, visually, it just moves in a straight line end over end. And it's like, it doesn't look like that difficult of a shot. Like, it's not like it does anything. You know, if it went from, like, one elevation and then at the end suddenly dropped and it was really hard for goalies to know when it was going to drop, like a curveball or
yeah
I think that's what a knuckleball is in baseball, right?
Where exactly.
It, like, changes elevation or something. And then, like, so here, it just, it's not presented in a way that makes it look that interesting, other than it just going end over end, and it, for some reason, mesmerizes everybody, you know. And I did look up, like, knuckle puck in there's a, you can find compilation videos on YouTube
of course,
actual NHL knuckle puck, you know. And it's kind of just, like, of course, it's never, like, they don't stop and freeze on the ice and take the time to set it on its side and do a slap shot. It's just kind of, as they're taking their shot, it just happens to get on its side, you know, and it, so it does still go end over end. And in a lot of the videos I watched on YouTube, they actually do change elevation a lot, because it's more like a kind of lobs sometimes, where it kind of goes up and then drops. So I think in real life, it's probably a tricky goal or a shot to block for that reason, but here it just goes in a straight line, and apparently it makes it tricky. I don't know.
I feel maybe it's in the third movie, because I don't remember if it's in this one. Maybe it's in the third movie. They do the camera angle where it goes up okay. and down, up and down. So maybe it's in the third movie. They realize how ridiculous this looks. They should really make an extra level to it. So it might be in the third movie that happens.
Maybe.
I have a visual in my head. I just can't figure out where I seen it.
Yeah.
You know? But I could also back when the NHL All-Star Game, they used to do, like, these real trick shots. I could see them doing something like this during that.
Yeah.
You know? I miss that event. I really do.
Yeah.
So, all right. The Iceland coach, the prick from Iceland is watching. I just don't like him. I don't like him. I've been saying this in the beginning. I'm not a fan. Don't like his attitude. We'll get more into him later. We will get more into him.
Yeah.
And Maria, who we really don't see much else for this in this movie. You were going to say something?
No, not about them yet. So
okay, cool. Let's jump to the great one.
Oh, yes.
Wayne Gretzky. The funny part is that I'm going to date this a little bit, because this is going to be coming out in a couple of months, but as we're recording this, Alexander Ovechkin, in the middle of the ride up the stand, up the history boards to get to Gretzky. He's in the middle of this right now. So Gretzky's all over the NHL and NHL NBC's Instagram page right now.
Yeah.
So quick stats on the great one. There's too many to name, I swear. He literally had the Wikipedia page to himself. On his stats. Like, I'm only player I've ever seen to have that. But for those that are watching this that are young, that wonder why everyone talks about Wayne Gretzky as one of the, as the greatest player of all time. 40 regular season records, 804 goals career, 92 in a single season, 2,223 assists, more than anyone else has points outside of himself.
That's kind of the astounding one.
Yeah.
And that's one of those that they kind of say no one's ever going to reach that, you know.
And the grand total is 2,857. But I remember I actually watched the game that he hit that record. And I cannot believe what I'm seeing. Like, it's so weird to watch that record happen. So, 15 playoff records, 122 goals career, 260 assists, another ridiculous number. 4 Stanley Cups in Edmonton, obviously. Traded to the LA Kings as one of the biggest moves in U.S. hockey history.
Oh, yeah.
And he would be part of the Kings at the time of this movie. And will have been in the Stanley Cup Finals and losing to the Montreal Canadiens at this time. So there you go.
Yeah. He was briefly a St. Louis Blue.
Yes,
so
he was.
Let's go Blues.
Yes, he was. And if anyone watched the All-Star festivities, he popped up at the beginning of it all.
Yeah.
This year. That was cool. So I'm guessing Blues fan?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, congratulations on your cup.
Yeah, it was a good good season last year.
I was in St. Louis, actually, this past
summer. Oh, wow.
I was there. Nice. Yeah, I actually stopped at the Enterprise Center, took pictures of the building and everything.
Cool.
Because why not? You know, I actually got a puck up on my top of my shelf of the team. So
nice.
So I was rooting for the Blues. I really wanted to see them win a cup. So
yeah. It's I was looking up, you know, Gretzky stats, and it was to the point where it was like, okay, I need to just, you know, scratch the surface. I mean,
that's what I was doing too. It's impossible.
I've gone down the Gretzky rabbit hole, you know, and you can just get lost in reading about him and you know.
Have you ever read his book? Ever read his book?
No.
It's crazy. His book is insane. One of my favorite chapters of all time starts with when we swept the series in five.
Yeah.
Wait, what? You have to read that chapter to understand what I'm talking about.
Okay.
So.
I kind of got into hockey not solely because I was a Kevin Smith fan, and you know, when he got into Gretzky and would talk about it on the podcast, it was impossible not to become a Gretzky fan just from hearing Kevin Smith talk about Gretzky, like,
right,
once I started looking into Gretzky and found out that he, you know, scored his first professional goal with the, you know, Indianapolis Racers, mm-hmm. which was my hometown team, you know, until they kind of got folded into the WHA, got folded into the NHL, and he became an Oiler.
Right.
So it's kind of nice, like, you know, technically he scored his first goal here in, you know, in Indianapolis.
That's crazy.
I don't know if it was here or away game, but
doesn't matter.
you know, stuff like that, like, just makes you proud to have some kind of connection to that great player. But I did look up, I was kind of curious, like, where he would have been in 1994, like, when the movie is, you know, comes out. And I found that on March 23, 1994, he is when he passed Gordie Howe's record of 801 goals. It says it took Gordie Howe 26 seasons to reach 801, and Gretzky did it in 15.
Yeah, it's saying. So, well, remember, there was 1 year.
The ceremony.
He scored 50 before other teams had 30 1 year. So
Yeah.
I have a weird history with Gretzky.
Before I wrote.
Yeah. Okay. You first.
Just like seeing him come into this locker room, like, all my, you know, adoration, like, notes of, like, oh, here's the great one, were quickly dashed when I see that he's wearing this, like, giraffe print tie.
I saw that too. It's terrible.
So,
I'm just pretty, you know, he owns
record,
that tie.
Records aside,
he owns that tie. That's the funny part.
Records aside, a terrible dresser.
I was going to say, though, I have a very interesting history with Gretzky, though. He's the greatest player ever played, but I have a really interesting, as a Devils fan, I have a very strange history with Gretzky. Because, number one, back when he was in Edmonton, Devils were in their heyday. They were just starting. They started 82, so they're just starting. He had a game against the Devils, and he scored 5 goals. They won 9-3. He then went to the media and called the Devils a Mickey Mouse organization.
Wow.
And became the most hated person in New Jersey for a very long time.
Okay. And
then he played for the Rangers. And that's how I got to see him play. I got to see him play as a member of the New York Rangers. So, yeah, a very weird history with Gretzky in New Jersey. So,
okay.
Yeah. He retired as a Ranger. So.
Yeah.
It's weird how that works. So. I do love Charlie, though, yelling, "It's the great one." Like, he's such a... I want to know if that was scripted or just something he said because it was funny. I don't know.
It kind of feels weird to me that... Like, I assume that Team Canada is also in this junior
group. They
are. Okay. Why is Gretzky visiting the U.S. team?
Maybe he visited both because he represented... he's on the L.A. side now, so maybe... Or in L.A. Keep in mind, the tournament's happening in L.A. So it may make sense for him to visit the team.
Okay. I'll go with that. It just, like, once I started thinking about it, I was like, why would he be, like, blessing the... Because I think the screenshot, you know, the USA Today, you know, next... The photo is, like, Gretzky blesses Team USA. And it's like, why wouldn't it say Gretzky blesses Team Canada?
Well, it's a Team USA paper, so that could be why, too. It's USA Today.
Yeah.
That could be it, too. And they really, really wanted Gretzky. Like, we're going to argue with Gretzky coming to your locker room. I would never argue.
Yeah. Well, and it totally makes sense. Like, here's a movie about hockey. We're going to get the, you know,
the greatest
basically
ever.
The biggest name, you know, in hockey, now, you know, today. Like, makes sense to get Gretzky in your movie. I mean,
especially
because
earlier in the movie, we had like up and coming stars that would become legends, and now we have the legend. So it works great, you know?
Oh yeah.
So the obsession, our whole run has been these papers and reading these papers. And I just noted this is the first time in a while we actually have stuff on here that makes sense. Because this one
I didn't really pay too much attention.
Yeah, well, we've been obsessed with these this entire run. This one actually makes sense because like the co-headlines are like the Celtics prolong the Spurs. That makes sense. And there's one talking about like you can go inside and read about like the other tournaments going on. That's fine. And this time they didn't show us the article. There was one article that was so bad that it made zero sense to what was going on in the picture. So we've been having fun with this entire run. But to continue on from earlier in the run, I just want to make a note that the Wolverines have been cleared. Earlier in this run, they were having issues with injuries. So
good.
This has been going on all season.
I was worried about them.
Yes. So just wanted to throw that out there. And I do love the headline, Knuckle Puck. How do they know what the name of the move is? Like, how do they know? Were they listening to Russ on the ice yell it? Like, does it make any sense?
Assume they have like announcers, right?
But he calling didn't the say games. It. He didn't say it though.
Oh, do we hear?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
On this call later in the later in the movie, he called it a knuckle puck. The first time he didn't call it anything. So
maybe someone talked to Russ after the game, like, "Hey, how'd you do win
that's
that?
A valid
you know,
point. That's a valid
the
point.
Winning goal. Oh, you haven't heard of my knuckle puck?
I can see that being the quote.
Yeah,
right there in the paper. You ever heard of my knuckle puck? Jeez. That's funny. That is very funny, actually. So, all right. Let's cut back to the ice, and this is one of the more actually one of the more popular scenes in here. It is the practice where they get to throw out a beach ball. This doesn't make any sense, but it works because it's the Ducks.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense at all. Like, this is the same movie that earlier had Lasso scene. So let's go with it.
Yeah. Is the weird like. This shows how dark I am, I think.
Go ahead.
When you have Hans and I don't know what the guy's name is.
It'll come to me.
Or his role on the team. Is he the manager or
who? Jan or Jan? Wait, what are we talking about here? Jan?
Is it Jan or Hans?
It's Jan. This is Jan. Han is
Jan.
In the old country. This is Han. The J.
It's him and the other guy.
The guy from
I don't know.
I can't think of his name at the moment, but I know you're talking about.
Yeah, I just assume he's like the team manager.
The guy who you're talking about, he's from the sponsorship, and he helped put the team together. I just can't think of his name. It'll come to me.
Sure.
Mr. Tittles. Mr. Tipples. Okay. There it is, Mr. Tipples. Sorry, go.
So you have like their little moment of frolicking on the ice, and the shorter guy skates away, and it does this like slow zoom in to Jan and
smiling.
It goes like so long before like the guy comes back into frame and goes over the boards, you know. So the first time I was watching this, I kind of forgot what happened. You know, I forgot that they were setting it up for a joke of him being clumsy on the ice.
Right.
So I'm just focused on Jan, right? And it's that because it's going on for so long and I'm not anticipating a joke. I think, oh, no, this is Jan's like last moment with the team before he collapses of a heart attack. And because it's like it's kind of like that moment. That moment in the movie where it's like you need some kind of tragedy. You know, you need the dark, ending of Act 2 to spur everyone into Act 3. So I kind of thought, oh, no, something's going to happen to him, So just for split second, that's where my head goes. And then the guy comes back into frame and falls over the boards. And that's like, oh, yeah, it's a joke moment. Okay.
It's hysterical because the best part is like a combination of how dumb Tipples is in this movie. Because he's the same guy who earlier got hit with a Fulton puck in the head. So, like, it happens to him all the time. And as much as a jerkies he's been throughout the movie, I don't think he deserves to go head over heels into the bench and almost get a concussion twice in this movie. So
nice.
I don't think he deserves that.
Yeah.
Hey. Yeah, I thought it was funny. I'm not gonna lie. He thought it was hysterical.
Yeah.
So we cut back to the ice, and I have one issue with this. I read this in an article somewhere. They just got here.
Okay.
They've been here like what? Not even a minute? and they're playing around. And let's say maybe a time jump, maybe 15 minutes. They've been here tops. And then Team Ice skates on and says it's their ice time.
Yeah.
What? That doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah, I kind of had the same note or same thought, like, because it doesn't feel like there's a time jump. If they had shown like a mini montage of them all,
like earlier in the movie, exactly,
or just something of them like kicking the ball around, having more fun, like, you know, you get a few shots of that, and then the thing with Jan and the other guy, and then, you know, that's basically it, you know, before Iceland shows up. And it's like, yeah, I have no doubts that every team gets their allotted ice time, and that stuff is scheduled, I would assume. So it seems so, yeah, yeah. Seems so weird that they would just show up and no one notices until the ball heads their direction, you know. Obviously, it works for a kid's movie, like, to have them just appear.
For the dramatic effect. But yeah, it makes no sense how they're here. Because they did something similar in the third movie, but they explained it. Like, they explained it better in the third movie. And this one, they didn't explain it. It just showed up for no reason. And like, and they've been here maybe 10 minutes. So it's like...
If that, yeah.
So
it literally feels like they kick the ball down to one end, and then they're bringing it back to, you know, the other end, and Iceland's just there. So, yeah,
no sense. Unless... our coach here decided I want to mess with them, so I'm going to go on the ice early. But that still doesn't make any sense, because I'd be breaking some kind of international rule. So...
Well, and I believe what's going on here is Iceland is just messing with them. Like, they're just there intimidating them and pushing them off of their own ice time. You know?
Which makes sense. But keeping in mind, Iceland did already beat them earlier in this movie.
Sure.
So it's very, as I mentioned in that episode, it's very like the Miracle story, where Team Russia, the Soviets, destroyed USA in Madison Garden.
Yeah.
And then that was the mental edge, but obviously everyone knows what happened against Team USA in the Miracle game. But that's exactly the story we're telling here. Like,
yeah. Well, and that's kind of what made me wonder, before I had looked into it at all, like, I was like, why is it Team Iceland in this movie? Why wouldn't it be Team Russia or
Welcome to our world. We've been asking the same questions since the beginning.
Okay. I thought question. Like, you know, surely in the 80s, you know, everything is Russia, US, and you have Miracle on the Ice, you have Rocky IV, you have, you know, all that stuff. So it was like, it seems like Russia would be the obvious choice, and then that's kind of what made me wonder, is that why they didn't do it? Because everyone had been, you know, inundated with Russia, U.S., you know.
I think that might be it. And maybe they also decided we want to have our own rival in this movie?
Yeah.
That might be it, too?
Well, and I did some looking into, because I was curious about the Goodwill Games. I wasn't really sure kind of what that was all about. I didn't know if that was made up for this, just because I couldn't remember Goodwill Games being a thing from growing up. Apparently, it was there for a couple of years, from like 86 to 2005.
The Junior Goodwill Games was never a thing. Well, so that's what it is. That's the difference.
So looking into that and finding out that it was kind of created because of the political tensions with the Olympics and stuff. So Ted Turner created the Olympic Games and stuff. And then I read something about, you know, maybe the choice to use Iceland instead of Russia was kind of that, like, we're just getting, like, friendly with Soviet Union again, so we don't want to paint them as a bad guy again, you know. So it could have been that, like, they went with Iceland just to not, you know, go with the making Russia the villain again.
This is the end of the Cold War, right? Is there all the end of it?
Right, exactly. Yeah. So it's kind of like, well, we're becoming friends again, so let's not, you know, paint them as the bad guys.
Yeah, and it's a combination of that, and maybe you're right, maybe they didn't want to do the same story, but they wanted to do the same story, and they didn't want comparisons to the real story. That could be it too.
Yeah. And, you know, well, and I also was curious, like, maybe Iceland is just has a really good hockey program. And then from what I looked up, it was like Iceland is like, you know, has never been, you know, a hockey powerhouse. So,
It's weird. It feels like they really. I've been saying this the whole time, but I'll say it again. It feels like they really wanted to do the Miracle on Ice.
Yeah.
But they didn't want to do the Miracle on Ice. Like, sure. That's exactly what they wanted to do. So, but they put Iceland in place of Russia and go. That's pretty much it. That's all they did. But anyway, we get back here, and Stanton has their ball. And I love the fact that they were just kicking the ball around with skates.
Uh-huh.
It did not pop. But he can pop it with his two hands.
I was curious about that. Like, how did they make that ball pop? Because it's like they had to do it in one shot, you know, and it couldn't have been if it had a hole in it, it couldn't have been too big of a hole because when he gets it, it's fully inflated, you know. So does he have like a tack in his glove? So when he, you know, handles it, it just like pops. So I don't
know. It had to be something. I mean, it's got to be some trick to this because there's no way when it was literally just flying around on skates that it should be able to be two hands can crush. Like, I mean, even with the backstory of this guy being like a lethal fighter in the NHL, which again makes no sense, but that's a different story. He can still, apparently his hands from fighting can crush a beach ball. No, it doesn't work for me. It doesn't make any sense.
Stanson looks like a beefy Peter Krause.
I haven't heard that one before. That's good. I like that. That's the first time I heard that one.
Yeah.
I like that.
And then the what's her name?
Maria.
Maria. Yeah, she just looks like young Claudia Schiffer. And I had to do a double take, like seeing her standing next to him. I thought it was Claudia Schiffer at first, but I was like, nah, timing wise, I don't think she would be this young in 94. But
no, yeah, but we talked about her a lot earlier. But she is one of those, like, again, after this scene, despite her being a massive plot point earlier in the movie,
she
didn't say anything again. She says nothing at all.
Yeah. Because it was like her, they were setting up like her and Gordy were like having a thing. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they were hooking up and then everyone got pissed at him.
Right.
And then literally the last sentence she says to him is during their date. That was almost a half hour ago. Like, she does not say another word for the rest of this movie. I don't get it. So. It's not like she was bad. She was good at what she did, but she didn't say anything else for this movie. So we have the standoff, which I do love the shot of their massive team and their small team. I like that visual.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great visual. All,
the Iceland players all look like they're 25. I think one of them had a facial scar. Like, just size-wise, they're all just like 6 feet tall. And
I forgot what the line was earlier. They were talking about they're talking about who was it? One of the Bash brothers, and they said, "How is he a teenager?" And the only excuse they could come up with, hormones. That's the only excuse they could come up with. So why these kids look so much older than everybody else? So because they gave us something.
What year was the first movie?
92. So 92. 2 years. Two years separated these movies.
Okay, so they were playing peewee hockey then. So 2 years later,
technically, in the reality we explained at the beginning, they would have been playing peewee, but they were asked to come to this team. Technically, they're not in high school yet. Cause that's the whole third movie.
Right.
That's the whole third movie. So,
oh man,
that's a different story for another time.
Yeah,
third movie. I have not rewatched it yet on purpose.
I've only seen that movie once.
Yeah.
It's
weird.
Because
it was weird.
Yeah.
I just don't know, like, it was on HBO. I've been airing these movies a lot lately. I think because people are getting really pissed that they're not on Disney Plus, so they're airing them on TV a lot lately.
Yeah.
And so I was watching D2 and D3. No. I don't want to watch D3. I don't want to watch this yet. I will get to it next year when we get to that movie. It's one of those, like, I don't want to watch it now because I don't want it to ruin my mind on it right now.
Sure. Yeah. Because
I'm in this world. Because that world is completely different. I just know there's one scene that someone's already requested for that movie. So
the rollerblading scene?
No. Actually, it's the guys from one of the guys from Barricade ABCs wants to be on for the grade 9 sequence.
Okay. So,
yeah, whatever. Anyway, back to this. They're having a standoff. And I this will be the screen cap for this episode, by the way, the two teams looking at each other.
Sure.
So they go back and forth. And I love the fact that we have this, and the team just stands there during all this. Like, no one's moving, no one's budging, no one's caring. I love this.
Yeah.
We go back and forth, and apparently we decide to talk smack for no real apparent reason. I don't understand why we're doing this at all.
And it feels so amateur when...
It really is. For two adults.
Gordon starts it, you know? And it's so, you know, uncomfortable.
Yeah, and here it is. The where you're only my script is all weird. That doesn't sound right. But I think it's the only thing little was your career in the pros. There it is. Because he was talking to them, they're all little rink rats. That's a lie.
Yeah.
That's something you call people.
Right. But
yeah, you're the only thing little was your career in the pros. Ouch. That one hurts a little. I'm not gonna lie.
Doesn't this movie start with Gordon like having an injury, you know, take him out of being in the pros? Or
yeah, he was in the minors, and the whole storyline is that he was literally one game away from making it to the pro level, and then he got hurt.
So why is he throwing shade at someone who actually played in the pros?
Exactly, because the comeback is the correct comeback. At least I had a shot. That's the correct comeback. Like, there's nothing coming back from that. So, he called him a disgrace. Fine, whatever. I still to this day do not understand how Stanton was in the NHL based on what we know about him. But that's a different story. He called him. We do this, and then the team won't leave the ice. So, what do? Apparently, we're going to play a game of three bar, which I honestly never heard of before this movie.
They present it like it's a known thing.
And I'm all aware I was just getting into hockey at the time
when
the movies were out, but I still never heard of this before this movie.
Right.
Did you ever hear of this before this movie?
No, I just assumed it was a real thing because, I mean, these movies were basically my first, you know, experiences with hockey. So
fair enough.
I would just take it as anything that seems like a rule or a regulation or a thing like that would just be an established thing. So, but I've never heard of it since, you know, this movie, outside of this movie. So I don't know.
I can see this being something they do in like practices.
Yeah, that, I can see that.
I can totally see that. It's like the player having some fun. They want to work on their accuracy. I can see that being a thing. Yeah. It's sort of like horse when you're playing basketball in the gym with your friends.
Sure.
It's the same mentality. Like,
well, and I could, especially like, you know, kids growing up on the ice, you know, you might not have enough kids to make a team. So what are you going to do? You're going to try to shoot against each other. You don't really can't really have a goalie because you're not necessarily doing like breakaways and stuff like that. But, you know, so I can see this being like the way to, you know, have 2-on-2 hockey, basically.
Yeah, I can see that. It makes sense. That makes
perfect sense. One-on-one hockey.
Yeah, or whatever. I could totally see that making perfect sense. I mean, remember in the street game earlier in the movie, they did not have a goaltender. They were just playing with they were playing old school without a goalie.
Sure.
You have some fun, and maybe that's how they do this. Maybe it's a Minnesota thing. I don't know. Maybe
I can see that.
I never played ice hockey, so maybe it's one of those things where it makes sense for that world.
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
Also,
this isn't a thing like at skills competitions in the NHL, though. Surprise.
Yeah. Like, I get the idea of hitting the bar because that shows your skill at
accuracy.
Accuracy, yeah. Placing the puck exactly where you want it to go.
It's impressive. It's really impressive.
It seems weird that you wouldn't be trying to actually score goals in this like one-on-one type of situation, like. But I guess maybe it's the idea is, can you be accurate while being pressured by another player? I guess that's the idea.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And I do appreciate that they explain the rules.
Like, yeah.
Thank you. Like, we don't know what you're talking about. We're new to this. So thank you for explaining the rules. And I do love how Stanton's like, I know the rules. I know.
Right.
Okay, cool. So much like in every one of these things, the bad guy's got to score first. That's a thing. Mm-hmm. And It feels like they have a 2 out of 3 falls match where it's in a wrestling show. Like, that's what this feels like. Okay. Like, the bad guy always gets the first fall. Like, always.
Oh, sure, sure.
It always happens. Yeah. So, of course, he's getting it the first shot. And Gordon's down. He pushes Gordon down. And the Iceland team actually shows emotion. That's a thing that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Which they don't do that again for the rest of the movie. They're the most emotionless team in this entire movie.
Setting up that Gordon had when they face off. You know, he's turned his hat forward.
Yes,
which is a perfect cover for having your stunt skater fill in for your actor. So.
Yes, that's a valid point. I mean, it really has got to know how to skate like basics.
Yeah,
he doesn't have to know how to be fancy.
Right, he knows enough to stay up on the ice, and yeah, clearly they're all. It's not all stunt skating, but
for the
breakaway type skating, the fast, trying to move around each other, it makes sense to bring in someone who's probably a little bit more proficient.
Well, I know for a fact.
I didn't pay attention to see if it's.
I know for a fact. The team, the actual Ducks, were trained properly to play hockey. Like, trained.
Okay.
So they went to training camp before the first movie. So
makes sense.
They were legitimately taught how to play so that they can show them actually playing. Like, so they don't have to cut away all the time, which makes sense.
Because it'd be hard to find stunt skaters their size,
Exactly.
So
it's sort of like
need them to be proficient enough to do what they're supposed to be doing.
It's sort of like in Miracle that they're very proud of this, by the way, that they casted hockey players and then taught them how to act.
Yeah,
like, that's what they did in most of Miracle. Like, most of that movie is unknowns because they're hockey players that they brought in and taught them how to act. Yeah. So, this is the other way of doing it.
So
anyway, Gordon hit the 2-1 lead in the game, and he's going to go for the finish. If he didn't stop to talk more smack, then he would have probably won the game already.
Yeah.
But common mistake, he talks smack. Stanton gets up and hits him in his bad leg.
Yeah.
And he's down. And this is a great payoff from the beginning of the movie, because that's exactly where he got hurt.
Yeah.
And, of course, Stanton, who apparently knows everything about him, knew where his injury was exactly. Like,
he knows his enemy. He's read Sun Tzu. He knows the art of war.
Mm-hmm. It always amuses me that he knows the precise actual location of where the injury is. Like... okay, sure. I'll accept that just for the sake of the story. He goes down. The team goes after him to check on him. And I just find it funny that the whole team's here. But Stanton has shown no remorse at all. Like, you see his face. And one would think, like, you've got to be something nice in you. But no remorse whatsoever. And we end things with them staring at each other. And they take the team off the ice. And we end right there. I do love the visual of them holding Gordon back, even though he can barely stand.
Right.
I don't understand that part, but sure. What a fun 5 minutes. This is definitely fun. A lot happens.
And it's almost a perfect segment,
Yeah, it does.
Starts
and
with a little
perfectly.
Bit of knuckle puck, and then, ends perfectly. I thought that was nice.
So. Yeah, that was not intentional. It happened to work out perfectly. Then it gets into the Iceland game, which will take up the next... like almost the rest of the show. So
right.
That's pretty much how it works here. I realized that when I was lighting it up, I'm like, wow, I'm going to be watching the Iceland game longer than last season with the with the championship game. This game goes longer. Like, yeah. I didn't believe it.
This is your pod race scene?
Yeah, pretty much, but it's going to be a hell of a lot more fun.
Yeah,
I'm looking at my notes here. The next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 episodes are this game.
So, right on.
It's the next 5 episodes.
Yeah.
So before we get to plugs, I just want to say next week, my co-host of the Blake and Sal Show, Sal, will be here to start the Iceland game. He really, really wanted to start the Iceland game, so we're doing that next week. So, Travis, why don't you get your plugs in?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. I do enjoy talking about these movies with you, so thanks again.
Oh, no problem.
Your listeners, if you're interested in checking out more of what I do, you can find me on my longest running podcast, Real Comic Heroes, where we review comic book movies. We go in a chronological order. We made a big list of comic book movies and comic book adjacent movies. You know, we threw in stuff like the Planet of the Apes films and James Bond and stuff that has had comic book adaptations but didn't start out as comic books.
That makes sense.
Yeah, but we go chronologically just to, you know, kind of make some sense of the order in which we go, just to, you know, so everything is release order. So
Release order. Always release order.
Yeah. So Real Comic Heroes, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and all your pod catchers of choice just by searching Real Comic Heroes with two E's in Real. My Movies by Minutes project over on Watchmen Minute has been completed. We went through the director's cut of Zack Snyder's Watchmen 1 minute at a time, and then recently we covered the HBO series one episode at a time, so there is some new content there, but as far as we know, that show is complete, unless they decide to do another season of HBO's Watchmen.
Yeah, I heard they're not, so I think you're good for
it. Yeah, the latest, they said no, but then I'm hearing like, Damon Lindelof hasn't completely closed that door, so who knows?
You didn't expect regardless, to have that season, so there you go.
What's that?
You didn't expect to have that season, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, check that out. You can search Watchmen Minute everywhere, and you'll find that. And, that's cool. Me.
Well, Travis, coming on the show, I always enjoy having you on. I know last season we went like an hour because there was so much going on. You always come on at a good time in the movie, so I can't complain about that. For everyone else listening, you can find the show on all platforms, all podcast platforms. If you're not already subscribed, please do so and rate and review. And also find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at D5 The Mighty Ducks. That's it. That's it for the show. Next week, of course, I have my co-host Sal from the Blake and Sal Show, which, by the way, you can hear every single Friday, also on all podcasters of your choosing. That all being said, thank you all for listening. Thank you, Travis, for coming on the show.
Thank you.
And I'll see you all next week. Have a good day, everybody.
And when everyone says it can't be done, ducks fly together.